how to make the right movies. It was also one of the first articles to elevate studio executives to the level of stardom previously reserved for actors and directors. "The one thing you cannot be bad at in this business is choosing material," Eisner told Schwartz. "Yes, it helps to keep your negative costs down, to keep away from the type and not to grab for stars and not to pay ridiculous prices. But you know what? If you pick the right material, all that pales. It's great to have good marketing, and I think we have the best. But you don't need it to sell E.T., and it won't help if you're selling the pirate movie, one of Paramount's rare critical and commercial flops. This business is based on 10 to 12 decisions a year. They are very important. Nothing else is close." In other words, what really mattered were the creative decisions made by a studio executive, not the business or financial decisions that anyone with an MBA could figure out. A quote from Don Simpson, then one of Paramount's most successful producers, responsible for such hits as Flashdance, captured the creative Eisner in action. "We went into a boardroom at 9 in the morning. There were maybe 11 people in the room. At the time, we had absolutely nothing good in development, which is the real estate of this business. Eisner said, 'We're going to come up with 20 projects today, even if we have to stay here until midnight. Leave if you want to, but then don't bother coming back.' Several people looked at him like he was crazy, but by 5:30, we had 15 projects." In one anecdote, Schwartz mentioned that he was at dinner with Barry Diller when Diller casually mentioned that he planned to stop in at a midnight screening to see how paying customers would react to Indiana Jones. Schwartz tagged along, and when they arrived at the theater, Eisner and his wife were already there. The next day, Schwartz got a call at his hotel from an unnamed caller. "I know you went to Westwood with Diller last night," the caller told me. "Did you realize Diller did that just to impress you? He never goes to check audiences. Eisner, on the other hand, is a maniac. He went to 2 more theaters after he left you. You're missing the story." The caller was Michael Ovitz, founder of Creative Artists Agency, already influential but soon to become Hollywood's most powerful agent. Since the falling out with Gordon, Ovitz had become Eisner's closest friend in Hollywood. Eisner had asked Ovitz to call Schwartz and plant the idea that Eisner was far more important to Paramount's success than Diller. Ovitz and Eisner had met when Ovitz tried unsuccessfully to pitch a game show to Eisner while he was head of programming at ABC. Ovitz had annoyed Eisner by sending his wife a lavish bouquet of flowers, which Eisner interpreted as an inappropriate effort to influence his decision. Still, he grudgingly admired Ovitz's persistence, and Jane didn't mind the flowers. After the Eisners moved to Hollywood, the two families became close friends, dining regularly at the Palm and other restaurants favored by the Hollywood elite. Eisner often came to dinner straight from his office at Paramount, eager to complain about Barry Diller. "Diller was a horrible person. He was immoral, and worst of all, he doesn't even come to work until 11 a.m. Along with the article about Eisner and Diller, New York ran a sidebar on Jeffrey Katzenberg, in which he was described as Diller's and Eisner's golden retriever, a nickname that stuck. But there was no mention anywhere of Martin Davis, the chairman of Gulf and Western, Paramount's parent company. What Eisner had failed to grasp was that in Hollywood, there were times when the only thing worse than bad publicity was good publicity, especially when it slighted your boss.